Hi, I'm Wayne Jones. Welcome to Writing and Editing, the podcast for people who deal with words. Writers, readers, and listeners, editors and their clients, and anyone interested in the English language. I'm solo today, and the topic is the English language, specifically one of its very recent words, stonk, S-T-O-N-K. It's a nice case study in a way of one of the ways in which new words come into the language. First, they're known by only a very few people. Then there's a niche who know about the meme, if it was coined online, as stonk was. And then it starts to gain some acceptability. It appears in dictionaries, for example. This is, my bonds and mutual funds are doing great, but my stonks are way down. Episode 195 of the podcast. So, actually, Merriam-Webster maintains a website called Words We're Watching, and this is one of the things they make public, and basically this is where the lexicographers there, the folks on staff, the people who look for new words, write articles about new words that they come across, and they define stonk very clearly and also specify where it came from. And I'll quote directly from what it says on the site. Stunk, a deliberate misspelling of stock, meaning a share of the value of a company which can be bought, sold, or traded as an investment, was coined in a 2017 meme. The word is often used humorously on the internet to imply a vague understanding of financial transactions or poor financial decisions, unquote. And it also goes further than that. It gives the precise history of where this came from. There's also a site. This site is not a Merriam-Webster site, but they quote it or link to it, called Know Your Meme. I'm constantly amazed at what there is on the internet. There's like a something for everything. And Merriam-Webster quotes this about where it came from and what it first looked like. Quote, it first saw use in 2017 as part of a graphical meme featuring the image of Meme Man. Now, there's a movie waiting to happen if I've ever heard one. A metallic-looking 3D humanoid character in front of an image of a tote board with stock price data and an upwardly trending line graph. Quote, the picture began seeing use as a reaction image online in jokes about making poor financial decisions. And actually, you can get a look at this. It's a good description of it there, a 3D humanoid character and metallic looking. But in the show notes, I've got a link to what Meme Man looks like. So basically, what it is is that stock was deliberately misspelled. And in this meme, this photo that someone had used, I think it might have been on Facebook, but I'm not sure about that. And it then became used as sort of a punchline when you wanted to say, boy, that was a bad financial decision. And that's how it sort of grew in use. I wouldn't say, for example, when my friend Oscar first mentioned it to me a few weeks ago in an email, I thought he had misspelled stock. And no, he was aware of the word stunk. And so that's when I had never heard the word before. So it's interesting how these words developed. The other thing about this, and I want to say there are two other meanings for stunk that have absolutely nothing to do with that meme. And then I want to talk a little bit later about the lesson there is there in meanings and etymologies of words in English. So the two other meanings that it has, and these are meanings that it's had for a while. One is heavy concentration of artillery fire. And the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the big unabridged one that's online, gives two examples of this in one in a journal called Infantry Journal. Quote, call for a good stonk about 5 hours before our assault. It is kind of a harsh word, so you can see how it might be used there. And then they quote someone named Peter Rainier saying, loosed a stunk on them and wiped them off the face of the earth. These are pretty harsh definitions. And perhaps not surprisingly, it's that word started to appear near the end, or as far as they could trace anyway, near the end of World War II. But it has yet another meaning that has nothing to do either with that meme or with the military, and it means a marble or a colored marble. Perhaps this depends on your age. I don't know. Did millennials and Gen Zs play this game? I certainly did as a kid. I'm a late born boomer. And they're little glass balls that you try to sort of put into a hole in the ground. And a stonk is a marble, and that appeared as early as the early 19th century. But to get back to the financial meaning of it, there's corroborative information in Wiktionary, in the Urban Dictionary, and in the Memes Dictionary. There's also a Memes Dictionary, and you can see links for that in the show notes. And perhaps the most important thing, or one of the more important things I wanted to say about this word, more has to do with the fact that there's a couple of lessons from this word. And you often see, for example, people fairly blithely online saying that a word came from this source or that source. And there's some ridiculous ones about where certain words came from that turn out not to be true, and that turn into the kind of the linguistic equivalent or the lexicographical equivalent of urban myths that are absolutely not true. And this is similarly like this, or there's a couple of lessons here. One is that the stonk, that's the military version, even though it's spelled like the financial version, and even though it's spelled like the one for marbles, they are not etymologically related at all. One is not derived from the other. And that happens in English. You know, there are two words that will end up being spelled the same or sounding the same, or as in this case, spelled exactly the same. There's absolutely no connection between them if you trace back their history. And that's an important thing to remember, because, it's sort of facile to say, this word is spelled like this word. I guess they came from the same source. When one means light bulb and one means a drinking glass, that's not necessarily the case. That's why you have etymology, people studying the sources of words, because you really can't tell. You really cannot tell from what a word looks like now where it came from. And you cannot assume that two words that look exactly the same, that are exactly the same, that are spelled exactly the same, come from the same source. That is not necessarily the case at all. And the other thing here, too, is the deliberate misspelling. This is a classic way in which new words are brought into the English language, and is one of the very kind of, I think of as playful ways in which English brings words into the language. And I was just thinking of a couple, and one actually has to do with podcasting, or at least with making audio and perhaps making video as well. And, the lingo that you use when, if you have something that, like, for example, the bit that I said at the beginning about, I'm Wayne Jones, welcome to the show and all that stuff. That's my intro, obviously. But then the word outro gets coined, and I didn't check on the sources of these, but obviously it's not a misspelling of it, but it's basically making a word that kind of logically you need to pair with the other one. So you've got, we've got to record our intro, we've got to record our outro. The thing is, though, that intro is an abbreviation of introduction, and outro is not an abbreviation of outroduction. There's no such word as outroduction, as far as I know. But it's beautiful the way this works, that you end up with that word like that, because it makes a lot of sense to have that. You can't just say it, well, you know, it's the intro, but the end intro, you know what I mean? That kind of thing doesn't work like that. You need a word for it. And outro is a perfect word for it. There are a lot of people who object to these sorts of things in English, you know, about how it makes its words and how words come to be used. And I will say categorically, that's definitely the wrong attitude, or at least I would say categorically that you're going to be disappointed and hurt a lot, because that's how words happen in English. And there's no sense complaining about them if they start to be used that way. For example, you couldn't say, oh, well, you can't call it an outro. Intro comes from introduction, but there's never been an outroduction. So you need some other word. That's just not how things work. The way things work is that if people come to start using outro as the meaning for the bit at the end, that is the word. And there's no, legal cases that you can look at to sort of say, well, I guess we have to stop using that because it's not perfectly symmetrical with the etymology of introduction. And one of my favorite ones, you don't hear it so often now, but I've always really liked this word. And again, it's not quite the same as the deliberate misspelling, but we know what a bimbo is. And that's a very derogatory term. But there is such a word as himbo as well, himbo. And a himbo is exactly what you might think it is. It's a male bimbo. And now that some people think that there are more than two sexes, perhaps it's not as clear. But if you believe, as I do, that there are only two sexes, then himbo, as a derivation from bimbo, is really quite brilliant. It takes advantage of the fact you end up with basically bimbo and himbo. And, one is for women and one is for men. But the beauty in the himbo one is that it's got built into it the gender, the sex of the person that it's referring to. So I find these sorts of things in English just really beautiful, how they develop. And witty, playful, imaginative. It's just really crazily great how the language develops like that. And I wish I knew more about other languages to know whether they are as sort of playful and open and accepting and witty in their combinations and in their makings of new words as English is. Perhaps one of these times during one of these episodes in the future, I'll try to track something down like that, or perhaps get a linguist on the show to talk about that. That would be really interesting to know. I can't even speculate. I don't even know. So that's all for today. Thanks for listening. Check out the show notes there's a lot of links in the show notes, and you'll really get a good idea. You really have to see Mean Man for one thing, and there's a link there to what he looks like. I don't think he's a himbo. He looks very stern and metallic and seems to know what he's doing, even though he's talking about stonks. But check out the show notes for the links and go to my site, writingediting.ca, for more info. My guest on the next episode is Mary Beth O'Connor. She's the author of a memoir called From Junkie to Judge, One Woman's Triumph Over Trauma and Addiction. It's a really excellently written and extremely frank memoir about just what the title says. She used to be addicted to drugs, but she became a judge in the U.S. system. That's on Monday. Please join me.